We'd like to welcome into the golf shop now the Hall of Famer, 17 tour wins, and back-to-back U.S. Open champion, Curtis Strange. Curtis, welcome into the golf shop.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I got a quick question for you right out of the gate. You know, we're here at Quail Hollow this week. We have the Wells Fargo Championship going on, and we've got Rory McIlroy, who won a couple years ago, and he's the defending U.S. Open champion. What's he getting himself into when he looks to defend in about 45 days?
Well, it's not something he's thinking about right now. In all honesty, he's thinking about the Wachovia. He's thinking about how to play Quail Hollow and do everything possible to keep his game in top shape. If it's not in top shape, he'll work on the things that he thinks he needs to work on. If he is, just kind of pace himself and get ready. It's in the back of his mind, but utmost in his mind is Quail Hollow. Now, you know, to win back-to-back, you have to be lucky. You have to be right, at the right time, right place. You know, it's a different golf course. A year separates the two. You have to be pretty lucky.
Is it harder to win the second one or the first one?
It's hard to win either one, trust me. One is not any more difficult than the other than winning the first major championship, you know, kind of solidifies yourself in the world of golf, not only to everyone else, but to yourself as well. And you believe in yourself a little bit more. And, you know, when you win a major championship or 10 major championships, you're no better player the day after than you were the day before. But what makes you a better player is your confidence and your belief in yourself. And right now, after winning one, he believes he can be, you know, he's the best in the world.
Now, when you look at winning major championships, I mean, as a player and somebody who was established at that point in your career, you know, was it important to win a major? Is it something that you felt like you needed to do before you left the game of golf and before you left the PGA Tour? Or is it just, you know, one of those things that's really nice to have and it kind of caps off a career?
Kind of caps off a career. It's, you know, things you dream about, it's things you do think about a little bit, but you can't put pressure on yourself. When you start winning and you think you're a pretty good player, an established player, obviously the next step would be to win the biggest of all, one of the big four. But you can't go in with a lot of pressure on yourself, and nor should you, because you haven't done it before. But I just think you kind of go about, you think about it. Everybody seems to play a little more seriously, a little more focused at major championships, and rightfully so. And sometimes you peak at the right time, and you're in contention. That's the only thing you can ask to do is have a chance on Sunday afternoon, and if you got the guts enough to go ahead and do it, you survive.
And I think, you know, we know that Phil Mickelson probably wants a U.S. Open more than anything on his resume. What does he have to do to get over the hump?
Well, he's a pretty doggone player in his own right. He won 5 majors and 4 majors and 40 tournaments. I mean, we were talking about Phil at the Masters when he was in contention again. He has nothing short of an incredible career, and is going in the Hall of Fame this year. But I'm sure that in the backdrop, he knows that he's had chances. He'd dearly love to have one more. But to do that, he's got to drive the ball well, as we all know in the U.S. Open. And if he can drive the ball reasonably well with the rest of his game, he can always be in contention.
Now, does a course like Olympic set up for him to be able to make a run, or are there other Open-type courses that might be a better fit for somebody like a Phil Mickelson?
You know, I think most Open courses are pretty similar. Not so much of late, because they've set the golf course up a little softer than they have in the past. But that said, you still have to drive the ball well. The greens are as hard as they can get them and as fast as they can get them. And Olympic is a good driving golf course, but also an old golf course where it doesn't have as big a greens as some. So that's pretty much the MO of all golf, U.S. Open golf courses. They're old-style golf courses where, you know, they have little dog legs. They have, you know, you have to be able to drive the ball well. You have to be able to think it around the golf course, because sometimes they're not overly long. And then, you know, you're going to miss some greens, and you've got to get it up and down.
Do you think that maybe the USGA overreacts because the scores were so low at Congressional last year, or are they going to kind of...
I hope they do. I hope they do, because the scores last year were not indicative of what past champions and fans of the U.S. Open expected. I don't want to be, you know, too harsh on the USTA, but I think they're missing the boat in my idea of the way it should be set up, and everybody else who loves the U.S. Open, is that it should be the toughest test in golf. And I don't know why they're going this way, but when the rough is not as deep as, you know, remember, these players are bigger and stronger than we were. So, in essence, the rough should be actually deeper, but it's not. It's less deep. And because of that, they can get it on the green from the rough. And I'm not saying they have to have pitch-out rough, because sometimes that can be a little bit too frustrating as well. But make them to where, let's come back to where driving is a priority. Right now, at the U.S. Open last year and the last couple of years, driving wasn't as big a priority as it was in the past, you know, 80 years. And then the rest of the golf course sets up well. I mean, they go to Washington where it's going to get rain, so it's going to be soft, and New York as well. And they can't control that, but they can control the rough, the width of the fairways, the speed of the greens, those three things.
Well, and I'm with you. I mean, I don't really remember last year anybody having to pitch out, you know, back into the fairway to get the ball back in play, whereas in the past, you know, you usually see it a couple of times around at least where somebody's got to pitch out and get back in play.
Yeah, and you don't want to see it all the time. It's not that you don't grow rough up to your kneecaps. I mean, it's when I was playing the U.S. Open for 15 or 18 years, you know, you would get lucky once in a while. You could run it up around the green somewhere. You couldn't fly it because you weren't strong enough. But you could chase it up to the front of the green where you have a nice little simple up and down, or once in a while when you got a bit unlucky, you could have to pitch out, and then that's what U.S. Opens are won on, is the guts and the attitude of, I'm going to get this up and down today from 130 yards. I'm going to get it in there 15 feet or less, and I'm going to make this putt, and I'm going to save par, and that's what the U.S. Opens all about, and that's the mental strength that you have to win there.
Let's shift gears a little bit, and you mentioned the Hall of Fame. I believe you got inducted back in 07. What kind of a thrill was that for you?
I still have a tough time putting into words, Mark, about the excitement and just the feeling of, you know, it was a pretty good journey, and it was capped off by this recognition. Voted in by your peers and your colleagues, and you know, being in there beside the greats of the game. And as I said then, and I'll say now, you know, they're not going to put me in the same corridor as Hogan and Snead and Nelson and Nicklaus, but at least I'm under the same roof on the same property, so that's good enough for me. It's just a wonderful recognition and a wonderful honor.
Yeah, it's always it's great to see some of the great champions get in there, and, you know, you have a locker right in there with the rest of them.
I do. If they like it or not, I really don't care.
I also want to get your opinion on a few things. What do you think about the changes that the tour is making to Q School?
I don't know all of the details. It's certainly a huge change from what we have known forever. I hope it turns out right. The one problem I have with it is that superstar, whoever that is, that superstar who could get in by playing in five tournaments and win enough money or win in a tournament in a short period of time, it's going to take him a year to get on tour now. And I think that hurts his career by a year. I think that hurts the tour, because we need the young stars on tour to develop. And that's the one knock I have on it right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be just that much harder for somebody like a Bud Cauley, or even, you know, Tiger Woods back when he first came out. I mean, he was able to get into some tournaments, win enough money, and move on.
Yeah, it's not going to be harder, because I think over the course of the year, by playing the Nationwide, and you can explain to your listeners how this all, what we're talking about, but having a Tiger Woods have to go to the Nationwide Tour for a year, it just delays his career by a year. And I don't agree with that. You know, a Tiger Woods, you know, you said Bud Cauley, I don't know how good Bud is, but the true superstar, it will delay him and take him a year to get on tour.
Well, that's true. Let's take a look at as your career as an analyst. I believe you started with ABC back in 1995. How did that all come about? I mean, how did you get thrown to the fire, if you will, in the booth?
Well, I was, you know, I was lucky. Like most things in life, I played well on ABC Network a lot. And because of that, I was asked to go to the booth quite a few times because I was playing well, and they just liked what they heard. And I never turned it down for a lot of reasons. It was great exposure. It's great for your sponsors. It's just fun to do. And then I was asked to do the British Open unofficially for a couple of years. Whenever I finished playing, come to the booth and work the rest of the day. I thought it was a wonderful opportunity. And then when I started playing poorly and was losing interest on tour and didn't want to flounder, they came to me and asked me to do it. I said, no, it's not time yet. It's too early. I want to still play. And then they came to me 2 years later in 95 and said, okay, we want you to do this, but we're going to allow you to play and work the TV. And I said, where do I sign? That sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
And now you're out in the Champions Tour playing. It looks like you play a little bit in the spring and a little bit in the fall because you get the booth work to do during the summer. So how's a Champions Tour fit for you?
It fits like a glove. I think it fits like a perfect glove to everybody out here. This is a pretty good gig out here for all of us over 50. I think we can send a positive message for those over 50 to stay active, stay involved. You can stay healthy, and not that we don't have our ice and pains like everyone else. Trust me, but I think that it's a wonderful opportunity to stay in the game, to stay competitive. And because when you think about it, and we've talked about it this week, I'm down here in Houston playing, the things that we can do are play golf. The things that we could do other than play golf, the list is very, very short. So this is what we do for a living, so thank goodness we have a place to do it.
Exactly. We also are in a Ryder Cup year, and again, I want to remind everybody we have Curtis Strange joining us this morning. We're in a Ryder Cup year. What is Davis Love going through right now in preparation for the end of September and getting ready for Medina?
You know, he's busy in his off days, just trying to work out the details and have everything come together. As far as players, he's just watching us play. As far as the team part of it, he's not doing much. You know, he's certainly watching who's playing well and who's not, who looks like they might make the team and things like that. But that's something out of his control. What is in his control, the little details that he's involved in with organizing the event. Now, remember, he'll have more to do than a captain from overseas because we're the host. So he'll make a couple of trips up at Medina. He'll have some say in the course setup. And then obviously picking out clothes, trying to pick out, you know, his wife doing the women's and all the activities and all the surroundings he's involved in.
Now, you participated obviously as a player and as a captain as well. I know everybody always talks about how nerve-wracking it is as a player. How nerve-wracking is it as a captain? Because you really don't have control by hitting shots.
No, you don't. And you know, it's a different responsibility to making sure everything is just perfect for the week. My wife, Sarah, did that just perfectly. I want to make the guys comfortable. But it's easy to do because the guys mesh as a team overnight. I don't care what you read in the magazines and the newspapers or in print. These guys come together as a team, and they fight hard as a team, and they enjoy each other's company. It's just such a different animal than trying to beat each other's brains out for 51 weeks of the year, and all of a sudden that one-off week, you got to root for each other, and they do it perfectly. And so my responsibility as a captain is just to make sure we're preparing properly, everybody's comfortable, and, you know, go play well, guys. Make me look good, you know. Hope you do well.
Well, Curtis, before we let you go, you know, we have a great field always, it seems like, here at Quail Hollow, and guys always rave about the golf course. Over the course of your career, what were some of your favorite courses to go to on tour?
Oh, my gosh. You know, everyone, you know, was wonderful in their own right. They were certainly different depending on where in the country and what time of the year you went to them. I was a fan of the older golf courses, and we don't play a lot of the courses that we used to play. You know, we still play Harbortown. I love that. And outside of the four majors, I liked the older style golf course. I liked Doral a lot because it's been around for so long and stood the test of time. You know, when we go to the Northeast, when you go to Chicago, there's some wonderful old golf courses. You know, and of course, we go to Pebble Beach every year, which is always a thrill. And, you know, some of the older style golf courses.
Well, it's always nice to hear from some of our former PGA Tour players and now current Champion Tour player, and we will look forward to catching you do some analysis work in the upcoming U.S. Open.
That'll be great. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thanks a lot, Curtis.
Thank you.